Let's say this was to get our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that sound in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even after Jesus himself, he is glorified, gratified. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, we're looking at the Christian faith and material wealth. This is the third section, right? Okay, fourth.
Is it fourth?
Okay, this is the fourth. Let me say it well. Fourth section. You might know that I'm seeing third. So that means there was a week I don't have my notes. Or what does that mean? This is third. Well, no problem. Did you guys say fourth? Fourth we are in. Fourth section. Okay, Hallelujah. Okay, we have a few things to look at. The Christian faith. You know, many a times, one very funny thing that people do that surprises me is the fact that some people don't know what the Christian faith is about. Hallelujah. Listen to one of our short messages that I actually put online, where I said Jesus being God is a fact of our faith. That is our belief. It's not just something we believe along the line. Do you understand me? Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. The guy saw it and he was offended. And he's a Christian. He's supposed to be a Christian. He's offended. He said, why would you say Jesus is God? Why would you say Jesus is God? For that's the truth, right? Hallelujah. Someone else, the last time I put out something like that, say it's not true. Then I said, you know what? Go get the bag. Told him where to pick up some Watch Tower booklet near his place at my 2. I said, you know my 2? Maza Buster? He said, yes. He said, come out, there's a place in the photo stand. I know that place very well. They go there, pick those things, put it inside the bag. You are now a day of you. Because, yeah? And it could be very subtle. He said, no, Jesus is not God. Even Jesus is not God, he loves God. Come on, keep short. When he used the word I am, is that statement. Amen. John 4, he met a Samaritan. And the Samaritan asked, we know that Moses spoke about the Messiah when he will come. He said, we know that there will be a Messiah, the which is called the Christos. He said, I am he. Amen. He said, I am he. Because he said he is the Son of Man. Many people don't understand that. He's the Son of God. We don't understand that. The Son of God. That means he's God's child. No, he's God himself. Hallelujah. We'll get into more details in the coming years. Hallelujah. He's God himself. Glory to God. He's God himself. Have the fact of a belief. Once you shift ground, you are not born again. Say, what did you believe in? What did you believe in? Look at John 10. John will meet John 10. I guess this is how the Spirit of God wants us to start to be teaching. Not from... What is it? John 10 has read. Well, my notes is 1:28, but I guess God has happened to start this way. John...
John 10:33. Are you there? Look at what it says. It says, and the Jews answered him, saying, okay, let's start from verse 30. Look what it says, I and my Father are one. Listen to that. You see, you are the one having that issue with. If you watch this conversation, you discover that it is your world. It's our world, not you now. It's our world that is reading their meaning into scripture that is missing it. Do you get that? I'm missing it. They just knew what Jesus was talking about. When he says, I and my Father are one. Now, that is that decision he was always found that Jesus gave. He gave that decision always. That he is God, but he's not the Father. Amen? He is God, but not the Father. But he's God. Hallelujah. Okay, hold on a minute. The Jews understood it. They were not going to fight with it. They knew. When the Father, the Abba, he's referring to God the Father. And they knew that from that. Look at something that points you again to Trinity. The Trinity Father. Look at Genesis quickly, chapter 2, verse 1. So you understand, from the Genesis, there is no, I know some of us have these, I said it years back, but after I discovered that from scripture, I didn't talk about it. But it's something you have to see. Though, you must understand that revelation of scripture is progressive. It's progression. Never rule that out. Even if you see the way Genesis and Malachi is written, it's written in a progressive manner. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you can't hide away from that. The truth, the Jews know. When it says, when if you get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, for example, and you find Moses right, he says, the Lord, he says, yeah, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He used the word Ikad. He showed you, when you use the word Ikad there, one, that is the word is in union. That's what it means. It's in union. When you use the word Ikad, it shows you Trinity. Hallelujah. Now, when we find out what Ikad used again, when you get to marriage in Genesis 2, it says the two shall become one, Ikad. Did you see that? The two being one, Salo and Dixon being one doesn't mean if Salo is walking, you will see Dixon in her eyes. Amen? They are married, they are in union, they are Ikad, but they are two different people. So, when it brings that from Deuteronomy, it says the Lord your God is one, is Ikad, is in union. Come here, follow you that. Amen? Amen. When you get to Genesis 1, I said, let's make money in our image. That is it. You see Trinity. Glory to God. In Genesis 2, for example, why ask you to open? Look at something. People always miss it. Genesis 2. It says, top the heavens and the earth are finished, and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day, God ended his works which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day for all the works which he had made. Did you see that? He said, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it he had rested from all the works which God, did you see that? Which what? Which God created and made. It's God that is talking, and he said God rested from the work which God created and made. He shows you what? He shows you Trinity. Hallelujah. You can't take it away. He's God. Amen. Get back to John 10. How do you know what I'm showing you this evening? So, I have to bring this in because we're talking about Christian faith. Amen. So, Christian faith is on Jesus, is God. How do you follow me? Your Christian faith is that Jesus is God. It is. Any other belief here, just put JW and become JW. It's all different. And it's going to be, and it's very subtle. When JW came to John 1, I've always encountered a few of them, very few. You know, when I came to John 1, I said, and the Word was a God. The Word was a God. I read JW Bible. In fact, one of my, after Gideon's Bible, the next Bible I used was JW Bible for a while.
for a long time. After Gideon, so that was what I used. So I knew what I can read out some of those
verses in scriptures and how they put it.
Hallelujah. The word was a God. No, was not a God. He is God. Obiamolo Evi. He's God. Subtle. I said, no, there's nothing there. It's just, no, it's very vital. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Look at that John 10. Now, I took us back to verse 31. Let's get to 31. So what he says to them, I and my Father are one. The Jews knew what was saying, and they knew what they were saying. So the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Did you hear that? Now, I told you they had that culture of stoning. What is that culture? When you say things that is called treason. So, in their mind, this is treason. Hallelujah, they took up stones to stone him. And look at what Jesus has answered. He said, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these, of those works do you stone me? Now look at what they said in verse 3. And the Jews answered him saying, for the good works we stone thee not. This is that for the good works we stone you not. But for blaspheming. And what is the blasphemy? And because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Do you see that? It is then making thyself a boy of God. There is no for him to say, I and my Father are one. He can't. They knew he was making himself deity. Divinity. Did you see that? So the Jews knew that what Jesus is saying is that he's God. If you go back to the conversation from John chapter 8, you will discover he said, before Abraham was, I am, and they picked up stones. Did you see that? Did you see that? They picked up stones. So now they are explaining the reason why they've been carrying stones at him. Therefore, saying you are God. Do you see that? Amen? Jesus did never say he was God. Can you see why they wanted to stone him? He said, for saying you are son of God. In our today's language, in our today's tone. They are saying you are son of God. Did you understand me? They knew him saying he's son of God. If he says he's God, that's what it means. It's you that have the problem thinking who is his wife. That's true. For him to say he's son of God, that means he's the Messiah, he's God. How can you say you're God being a man? Because they knew the Messiah, they thought the Messiah was not going to stone himself on heaven now. Amen. They know that the Messiah was always around them. So what can you not say you being a man? Isn't that? Hallelujah. We know your parents now. We know your brother. Can you say you are God? But for good words, I will enjoy your good words, but that part, that is the offense. Hallelujah. So the Christian faith is the belief that Jesus is God. That's the Christian faith. Anything other than it is not a Christian faith. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. And him being God, we are now carrying out his task in the earth, making men see that he is God.
This redemptive work in the earth.
Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So this becomes very vital that a believer, a child of God, should have the knowledge of this truth. You must have it that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know another offense that people find, especially those who are critical thinkers, is the same. Their own offense is not different from that of Enoch. Enoch. Amen. You know, Enoch, reading Isaiah, saw how wonderful God is going to be. So, the Messiah. He said, he's going to be this. You know, reading all that. He then gets to where he now said, he was as the sheep led to the slaughter. You know that? He couldn't understand it. But I thought it's going to be God. So he asked Philip. He said, what is this? What is the prophet? Is he talking about his name or someone else? Did you see that? Hallelujah. You just understand. How come? And that is the same offense people find. How can you say God became a man? Did you see that? Not just that he became a man. You know, he said that He said, oh, you know, you can always debunk it for them. You say, Can you say God is almighty? Yeah? It can be. Yeah. God is almighty. He's almighty God. Sovereign. Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. So, he can become a man then. Because there's nothing God can do. What God cannot do does not exist.
Then, meaning becoming a man is not the problem. What God cannot do does not. But what I'm beat their head is that God that became a man now was killed by men. God? Man killed God? You know, he just the blood came out. How? Oh my God. You see what I'm saying? But you know, because in your head, God, sovereignty of God is God just save me.
Must happen now.
He didn't want to do anything on it. When they dance, they you know God, you don't remove the name.
God. Gaga, just calm down. Tony, I'm calm.
That is God's word. When I have a love with him, he not cry. God! You do not stop this word business, but you know. That's why the Bible says, Paul was saying, man in all his wisdom, in all his wisdom, doesn't cannot look God. See in all his wisdom.
The foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Yeah, but you don't know that the sovereignty of God, the power of God is not power, is not is seen in bush. No. That is power. Hallelujah. His death on the throne is power. Paul will say in death he destroyed the he that has the power of death. So that means in his death he destroyed death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You remember? When he was not speaking to his disciples in Luke 24, he said that all things must be fulfilled. So that means I'll have to go back and see that from the Genesis, it has been man that has been dealing with God.
Not God dealing with man.
That is what he showed you. Man is the one with the offense, not God. Amen? Okay, what do you mean? Man killed God? Yeah. Ha! Jesus! Glory to God. That is power. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. Glory to God. Okay, let's see a few things. Is there any other man up? So you need to understand what the Christian faith is about.
What is it about? God starts in all the earth. Jesus is God.
So you must be knowledgeable. Many times, like I said earlier, in our previous sections, I said to us that the lack of knowledge is what makes a lot of people begin to... Some people get angry with God over things he never promised them. That they thought he promised them. Over things God never promised them. And they thought God promised them. And I told them that is very vital. Especially what you say as believers when you want to lead someone to being born again. Hallelujah. To receive Christ. It's very vital what you say to them. Hallelujah. Sometimes some people never want to renew their minds because of sometimes you have told them, you told them this future about Jesus, but what they had in their mind was what they had in CRK when we were small. They didn't have it. It became so much it overwhelmed their heart. Hallelujah. So they begin to rely on the promise God never did. And you know what? You can't rob God over what he didn't promise you. That you thought he promised you. Hallelujah. Some people say, but God promised me. I told you how someone said in the office. Very funny guy. He said, he doesn't just know. A lot of all the whole jobs in the world, oil company,
Holy good job, Sam Talk.
Yeah, I didn't mention Sam Talk. Holy good job.
God made him to get microfinance job.
You know what? Is that God? Don't know how it was so funny.
So funny. He said, why microfinance job? I said, it's because that's where your CV matched. Who will have your CV will match the microfinance job? They just carried you. So now we will take you off the street. What nonsense are you saying? Why oil company? It's not only oil.
Yeah? Stop nonsense.
Yeah, you're thinking, oh God, what is it? Anyway, I don't know what song used to sing great enough. Abraham's blessings are man. I am blessed in the morning. We know Abraham's blessing is money in my bank account. Money in my bank account. So, I and my friends, we now knew that blessing is actually, Abraham's blessing wasn't actually money. So we now use it to, we now use it to form another song.
Now put one of our mentors, very rascal boys, put one of our mentors and their children's name.
So you have flair for fair women. It's working out, right? Hallelujah. Don't mind us, we're just being naughty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's very bright, have you seen that? So, question is, what is Abraham's blessing? We began looking at that last week. What is Abraham's blessing?
What is it connected? Abraham's blessing. Somebody
say,
Abraham's blessing
is a
man.
You're blessed in my I am blessed in my account. I am blessed in my pocket. Abraham's blessings are mine.
So it's money that comes to your mind.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said Abraham's blessings wasn't about money. We saw that, right? Right? Okay. Abraham's blessings wasn't about money. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. Okay, let's look at that. Abraham's wealth wasn't money. Hallelujah. Now, we saw the use of the word blessing.
Genesis 1:28.
It said it used in relation to God's tax in the earth. Blessings. Used in relation to God's tax in the earth. Genesis 1:28. We saw that. Hallelujah. Hope you're following this. Amen? So, when we now talk about Abraham's blessing, we said, Abraham's blessing, if you look at it in John 12, the first time it's used for Abraham's blessing, and God blessed Abraham rather, John 12. Now I told us that the word blessed means to speak well of, right? To be accepted, used for acceptance. Now look at Genesis 12, verse 3. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee. Okay, so verse 2. It says, and I will make thee a blessing, great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. Watch that. So when you do what I will bless there, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Now they are saying what it means by bless. They say, I will make my name great. Right? We saw that last week. I will make my name, not I will make your name, but my name great. And that is in contrast to what Genesis 11, when they built the Tower of Babel. I would say the Tower of Babel was not a physical building, but was a temple, right? Zurgas. Now, it was a temple, a worship. So, in the temple, they said, well, let's make our name great. You see that? So, the Tower of Babel was actually idol worship to make their name great. So God is saying, no, it's not the Tower of Babel. It's not man's name great. It's my name great. That is heaven and earth. See that? So he turns to Abraham and he says, I will bless thee and make my name great. That means
the blessings of Abraham is in relation to God starting all the earth. Genesis 1:1. Heaven and earth, my name great. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. My name great. So he now goes to verses 3, which we said you will find like a verbatim usage by John. He says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Put that side by side with John 20. He says, whosoever sins ye forgive, I forgive, and whosoever you retain, I retain. The same thing. Because the blessing will be in the gospel. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ. And a rejection of it, which is the cause not to accept, will be what you have. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Okay. So, the blessing of Abraham is connected to salvation, redemptive work in Christ. Therefore, we said that Abraham Abraham's wealth has nothing. And we're going to see a few of these things as we go into the coming weeks. Abraham's wealth has nothing to do with the blessings, as we've seen, of God. Rather, Abraham was even wealthy before God called him. We saw that too, right? Hallelujah. So verse 5, he says, took Sarah his wife, his brother's son, and their substance that they had gathered, and the souls. When you use the word souls there, it's used for men, and men, the amount of men you have, shows how wealthy you are. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. In their world. So that means Abraham was wealthy before he was even called. Hallelujah. Then you discover something very intelligent as a student of God's word, that all the while the writers of the epistles spoke about Abraham, none of them made mention of Abraham's physical wealth. Why? Because it's not part of the blessing. We're going to see a few of those right away. Hallelujah. What about the blessing? So Abraham wasn't spoken of concerning the amount of money he had. No. To show you that the blessing wasn't related to his wealth. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, follow me. When you talk about Abraham's wealth, one of the persons that benefited from Abraham's wealth is Lot. His son too inherited his wealth, Isaac. Right? So before you start thinking, oh, the wealth is, the blessing is the money, Jacob, who is a prophet, just like Isaac and Abraham, was not wealthy. Others had souls, that is, they had servants. Jacob had children. He gave birth to football team, plus two sons. Amen. The only people he had as servants were the wife's slaves, who are now his concubines, who gave birth for him. So he didn't actually have, he wasn't wealthy at all. Okay, follow me. Wasn't wealthy at all. At all. In fact, if we get to why he went to Egypt, was he said, ah, let's go to Egypt before we die. Amen. Death was looming. He said, ah! Go to Egypt too. If not, we would die here. Amen. So if I thought the blessing, someone said, I heard this from Pastor Shelby, was saying we went somewhere one day and a pastor was explaining the wealth of Abraham, the blessings of Abraham. So it was the same sense of money. That's okay. He now mentioned from Abraham, now went to Isaac. He said, let me see how he would judge Jacob. So let me see. Say, you see that blessing, you move. It was a generational blessing. Move to Isaac. That's okay. Let's get to Jacob. He systematically skipped Jacob. I went to Joseph. Then, he now came back to Jacob. He now said, Jacob was wealthy. How?
Brand said it was because of that wealth he now went to Egypt. Because he wanted to, because what they had in Egypt was a different species of crop. He wanted to go there to go and do that species of crop. That is twisting the gospel. Not just twisting, that is not, you do not just twist, you refurbish it. How can you say that? Amen. He said, Jacob was so wealthy that he wanted to acquire new crops. After I went to Egypt. Jacob that said he wanted to die. He said, please go, lest we die. Amen. Amen. Sapa Holland. He said, let's we die. Call his children, oh yeah, go. I immediately heard that. He said, we are joining there. I will not die in hunger. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Well, we're going to see that also in the light of God's provision.
Does God provide for us? Yeah. We're going to see that too. Hallelujah. But to say he was wealthy because of the blessings of God was a lie. Then how would you then explain Esau that was more wealthier than a child of God? Explain Esau now. Jacob came to meet Esau. Jacob lined children, packed gifts. Let's present, you know, where you go for what do you do this season? May 29th. What you do, going to do much fast, you know? Your head teacher will not be the one to present to commissioner. When commissioner comes to your school, you know, he's always going to run, give. Go and give it. Good afternoon, sir. We are happy to have you in our school. God bless you, sir. This is from us, Air Force Primary School 1. You catch her. Okay, no, sorry. Air Force Primary School 3. You know, they are really not a jebota. They are just sacco. Everybody is good. God bless you as you collect us. That presents it. I gave it to AOC. Glory to God. You know his children are the, that was what Jacob did. He gathered all his children and gave them gifts. He went to say at the back, should he kiss? Should he kiss my brother? Wants to kill me. He said, before you kill all the children. Yeah? Amen. What is all this? I don't need them. Amen. He was proud. He was very proud. I don't need this. He forget Pashi. He said, Pashi does nonsense.
Oh, it's a
jump.
Like,
what is
nonsense?
Because that was what he chose over serving God. That's what he chose.
Well, I mean, you do a lie.
That's what he chose. He chose wealth over serving God. Most of the time, I told someone, I said, there's something that we must be very careful of. Yeah. There's only one thing in scripture that even the Lord Jesus Christ placed that, as in he warned, let me use that, he warned that you must never do in your service to God. He says you should not look at Matthew. No, okay. Let's look at Matthew 6:24. Then we'll look at Luke's rendering of it in Luke 16. So you see the strong words that the Lord Jesus used. It's very strong words. Matthew 6. Talk about Matthew 6. Very strong words. I'll just read 26. It says, okay. I don't want 21 to 26. Say, for where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Say, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thy eyes be evil, thy whole body will be full of darkness. Now says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? Now watch this. Say, no man can serve. Watch that is the watchword. Glory to God.
He says, no man can serve two. Did you see that? Two masters. For either he hates one and loves the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
That is the Greek word mammona, used for wealth.
Now watch the word. The word is not you cannot have wealth. No, he said you cannot serve.
That's so different.
And he's talking about the service. He talks about what your heart is. Did you see that? What your heart is. Very strong words. He's not saying you can't have money. Oh, we're going to deal with, can a Christian be rich?
Amen.
And we're going to deal with, does God give money from, does money fall from heaven?
Is there anything called, let me not use the word miracle money. Is there anything called supernatural money?
Right. You just remember some words like faith is faith is a converter that converts the riches from the realms of the spirit.
We're going to see that.
Well, that's true.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. I hope to do this within the next two to three weeks. Hallelujah. Let's say a few things. Look at Luke. Look at how Luke will put it. Luke 16. Luke 16. From verses 9. It says, I said to you, make to yourself friends of mammon, of unrighteous, that when you fail, they will receive you into everlasting habitation. I love this. I read this like 4 times today. I was just laughing. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? He's not talking about faithfulness. You see that? Was he faithful? And he's using the word on another man's wealth. So say now, so no servant can serve two masters. For either he hates one and loves the other, or else he would hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. And who? Mammon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can also have God and mammon.
Very vital. It's very strong, it's a strong one. You can.
And the watchword there is service. Is that? That's the watchword. Just as someone says, money is not good. The Bible says money is the root of evil. No. The Bible says the love of it. Did you see that? Amen. The love of it.
You can serve.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Okay, you can serve God and mammon at the same time. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So the watchword is service. But I'm going to deal with that. Hallelujah. So you watch your heart.
You watch your heart. Hallelujah. You know, some people, when they hear that a pastor, they like to put their mouth where it does not concern them. You understand? They like to put their mouth where it does not concern them.
Like,
what does it concern them like? That they are a pastor. Wealthy guy. As an individual, that's usually a business. The wealthy guy, pastor. In the next few years now, he will learn inside this year. He's like,
unless they should be having a financial structure.
what is your financial projection?
Someone has told me that. If I've only said this to this day,
what's your financial projection? I didn't just, I've learned to say nothing. I said, okay, why are you not talking anything? A senior colleague, senior colleague. I didn't say the word. I'm talking to you now. Watch your heart. Hallelujah. Watch your heart. Kind of nonsense that you should have a financial projection, like a 5 years projection. You think we are doing strategy on how Santos will fit?
I've never, to myself, in the past years. Let me have a financial projection for me. As a pastor, sometimes they give their very last. Let me tell you, your pastor is borrowing from other pastors to pay that pastor so that they can have their GDP.
So 5 years. So you now be doing PCU meeting. Now be thinking of projection. Okay, next 4 years. Now be planning. Okay, we don't do pastors.
We don't do pastors. Special giving for pastors. No, pastors are appreciation. How will you get to 1 million? Let me do one
teaching
like that.
You don't do that yet. Hallelujah. Yeah. On Pastor's birthday, Pastor is teaching on prayer. Yeah. You don't do that. They don't do such things. Hallelujah. That like cross your mind. Let me using your members to do Faji. That's it. Today, during PCU meeting, you have something in your mind. You want them to.
To give you your baby next month. Now let's have a teaching on how God responds to our need.
Only. Only. You want to thief. God will not shock you. Everybody will not give you boxers.
Yeah. How am I doing?
It's just good we say the truth at times. Can you tell us about 5 years financial projection? You don't know what is doing you. And you're not meeting your target. That's in the 5 years financial projection. You don't know what is doing you. Nonsense. It was to be somebody on my level. I will finish up. But you know, you just look at a guy. Look at your job. Look at it. Go where were we? So Mammon, right? Let's see how Abraham was spoken of in the epistles, Romans 4. Quickly, Romans 4. I guess I'm behind a bit behind schedule. But let's look at Romans 4. Are you Romans? Okay, I'll take from verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining the flesh has found? Now, when it's Abraham our father, I was not referring to now let's see where he called him father from. He says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. So in dealing with Abraham, say if Abraham was to be justified by works, there's something he could boast on, right? Was he rich? Yes. There's something to boast of, but not before God. This is that, for what said the scripture, Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. So what is important, what counted was his faith towards God, and that is what was counted. You see that? Hallelujah. He says, now to him that worketh is the reward, not record of grace, but of death. So if it is of work, then it means it's not grace. That's what he's saying. That's it. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on he that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Say, even as David also described the blessedness of a man.
Now let's see how they describe blessed and not money.
Say, it's the blessedness of a man, of the man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. You know that? Hallelujah. It says, say, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So,
David's definition of blessedness is in the forgiveness of sins.
That's how scriptures regard what blessing. Blessedness is not in your money. No, it's in the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that? Hallelujah. That is Psalm 32 here. Say, blessed the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Psalm 32. Hallelujah. You look at verse 9. And that's where I will stop for now. Verse 9. It says, commit this blessedness upon the, on the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Did you see that? How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So he told you that though Abraham was wealthy before he met God, but he was unrighteous. That's what he's telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. In unrighteousness. So he was unrighteous. But the blessedness made him righteous. What are you following that?
Glory to God. Abraham being righteous is not because of money. No.
It was because of faith. Hallelujah. Faith. Hallelujah. Okay. Now another question will have this.
Are you saying riches now? Let's deal with riches. You know, some people just like to ask questions from front, back, left, under. They say Abraham's wealth. The father is wealth. Let's talk about riches.
Let's deal with riches. A bit. So is riches.
When you talk about riches,
yeah? What does it mean? Right? Right? You know, some people have always used something for business. Say God is the Lord that causes you to profit. God made it.
I think it's for business. We'll deal with that. I will deal with it.
We'll deal with it. It's
like you will not go and say, Lord, someone one day was asked to pray in the office. You know we are in a bank. But the Lord, you know you are the one that causes us to profit.
I just opened my eyes.
Let me tell you something. Look at Jacob. Isaac dig well. They covered it. Went to dig another well. Covered it. They dig another well. They covered it. He's gone and make water for himself. Come on. He was hard working. But you know what's covering? No even a cover. Put it into this business. He made loss. You don't know. That is loss. They covered it in loss. NDI. Look, let me know the NDI. He did well. DSS cutter. Oh, he did well. Stop us for that. He did another one. How about we took money around? He said, no, I was empty by cost. So, let him go to logistics. I am a shard, the envy. Amen. He was fine. But, I came to meet you. But I think I'll say, I'll just love you. He said, sir, but I thought Pastor Wisdom is the end. I said, yes, it's the end. He said, and he said, close. I said, yes. He said, we don't be anointed. You could just see the disappointment in her face. That we don't be prophetic. In fact, it happened few weeks. The closure happened few weeks after special meeting. Yes, sir. There's no few that have one special meeting like that.
No.
After essentiality.
You didn't attend.
Okay, they lock him up. Essentiality, you know, before essentiality, they were once on. And you shall move, I'm mad.
How did you just skip that?
Some brethren, you hear some brethren, so you just be laughing. See, but you don't ask Sandy, even the new one, if they did not cover it for months, he couldn't access his office. Like, he couldn't access his office.
It's all about the annoyance.
Did you walk around?
You even teach some people. I put my office.
Yeah, but mind yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So it was an MOG. I took over 700,000 and put in my investment company. It didn't close. Remember, in church, what is happening? I said you put now your passport. You don't have the mind to put that amount.
I put every draw.
He took 700. You're a man of God. Amen. Give yourself brain. Go here to God. And to give yourself brain. Hallelujah. So the blessedness. Okay, reach it. So that one thing you just say. Actually, when we want to joke, let's joke. Can you say, God, you are the one that needs us to profit? So the one that you just like, and we do that too also in football. I play ball for my team in the office. I'm a goalkeeper.
I've never joined them to play. No, Lord, let us be. And I will not lose. Lord, let us to win this people. What kind of nonsense prayer is that?
Don't people too now pray, Lord, let us to win. What is that? Can we want to play, let's play, replay. So whenever they are calling to pray, I'll go and urinate. I usually will reserve my urine to that type of prayer.
What kind of nonsense prayer is that?
Yeah. We got play ball. And now we go pray. And I'll put somebody to keep. Say I should go and read basket, all the prayer. Woo woo. Smart, please come and kill. You're your pleasure of anyway. I thought you prayed. Angel should come and say at the post, or what are you thinking? Ask this thing now. When this young guy here took him on journey. You know the battle is not to the sweet. Amen. So let's look at riches a bit. Riches. 7 minutes. So that word riches is from a Greek word. P-L-O-U-T-O-S. Plotos. Plotos. It has its roots in two Hebrew words. Oshia and Nekes. But we're not dealing with that in this series. But that word plotos is used for an abundance, for an abundance of wealth, fullness of something. When something is full,
fullness of something, fullness of something.
Hallelujah. Amen. So let's see how the word is used in the synoptic first. Jesus used it in Matthew 13 verse 22. That word riches. Matthew 13 22. And it was specific in how we use it. Look at Matthew 13. Now in the parable of the sower, yes, look at what he says. He says, and he that receives seed among thorns, the seed that fell among thorns, he said, is he that heareth the word. Hallelujah. You know, very vital. It tells you three kinds of audience you will have.
One thing I'm going to share with some of us. We have a short exhortation. The three kinds of audience you have when the word is taught.
Hallelujah. So he says, he that received the seed among the thorns, says he that heareth the word,
and the cares of this world. You see that? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and it becometh unfruitful. Now here's the word deceitfulness of what? Riches. Now what does he call it? Deceitfulness of riches of this world. Mark that. He didn't say riches. He says riches of this world. Okay. Sorry. The cares of this world rather. So he calls it deceitfulness of riches. He calls it the cares of this world. Hallelujah. 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 He calls it the cares of the world. Okay. Now when you use the word world there, the cares of this world, that's the word aion. Aion used for an age. An age. Activities of men. Hallelujah. So he calls the riches the care of this age, the cares of the activities of men. So when you use the word riches of the world here, it's used in reference to abundance or wealth in terms of material things. And he calls it deceitfulness. Material things. Deceitfulness. He repeats the same parable in Mark 4:19, Luke 8:14. The same. So he uses riches of this world. Mark that. Riches of this world for material, those who are materially okay, material wealth. Do you understand me? Paul also used it for material when he was to admonish Timothy. We're going to see that next week about those who are rich in this world. You see that in this world. So there must be that distinction. Hallelujah! Rich in this world. Talking about material increase. You see that? Material wealth in this world. Remember what the word in this world. It's got nothing to do with God. What we are saying that it's got nothing to do with God then. In this world. Hallelujah. What we are following in this world. Never forget that. Now when Paul also used the word riches for God's glory. He used the word riches. Paul now. So to see that, like I said to us a time ago, the word doesn't have a unilateral meaning in scriptures. Context will give meaning to words. Hallelujah. So Paul, in writing about riches, will write also about the riches of God's glory, of God's goodness. Do you see that? Look at something you see. Romans 1:18. So let's see what is the riches of God's glory. Now we've seen what the riches of the world is, right? Right? Which is of this world, and he was referring to material gain. Now let's look at riches in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. What is riches in God's kingdom? What's riches in God's kingdom? Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 18. I mean then the Romans 1, Ephesians 1 18. You see it? I guess we'll have to I don't get to the end. But let's see. Ephesians 1:18. He says, for though he, I'm sorry, 1:18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his, or the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. The riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance, where? In the saints. So the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance will be in the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the believers have the glory of God. The glory of God's inheritance in abundance. Is that? The believer have the glory of God's inheritance in abundance. And this is not material. It is immaterial. Oh, you can see. It's in the believer. Hallelujah.
Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Romans 2:4. It says, start with verse 3. It says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, and thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you see that? He's admonishing them, and he says something there. He mentioned the riches of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. The riches of the goodness of God. He calls it the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. So he calls the riches of God's goodness long suffering. Hallelujah. Long suffering. And he says it leads to repentance. So here he's talking about God's character. That God's character is that of goodness. And what does he use to describe goodness? Long suffering. So he's telling you God's riches in his goodness is his long suffering in redemption. Hallelujah. His long suffering in redemption. Hallelujah. So God's goodness is demonstrated in his long suffering. Peter picks that in 2 Peter 3, verse 15, where he says the long suffering of our God is salvation. You see that? The long suffering of God is salvation. And he's talking about what God's redemptive plan. Hallelujah. So the riches of God's goodness is seen in God's redemptive plan, that he was long suffering. Hope you following me. Hope you following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go further. Romans 9. Romans 9:23. It says here. Romans 9:23. Are you there? It says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Did you see that? Make known the riches of his glory. Now, riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Which he has. So, he's not referring here to material possession, right? But rather, riches there, abundance of God's glory. Did you see that? Abundance of God's glory. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. This is the riches in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. According to the riches of his grace. So what does he refer to as riches? Yeah. Abundance of God's grace is in what? Forgiveness of sin. You find it in redemption. Hallelujah. In the redemption work of God's forgiveness. So riches in God's kingdom is used for what? It's used in relation to the gospel. What we've received in redemption. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of sins. What are following that? Is it material or immaterial? Immaterial. Right? So put it like this. Is it material or spiritual? Spiritual. Right? Right? Okay. Let's see this. Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You see that? Hallelujah. What does he call the riches of his glory? He calls it to be strengthened with might by his spirit. You see that? So that means he calls the...
riches of his glory, yeah, he was refusing it to, he's referring to what? The indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the riches here is referring to the indwelling. Showing you that the riches is immaterial. Is immaterial. Right? Is immaterial and that is spiritual. It's immaterial that is spiritual. So a quick one as we round up, then we'll pick it up from here next week.
Look at verses 8 of Ephesians 3. Let me not rush.
He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is that. So what is the unsearchable riches of Christ? That's what he explained as the indwelling. Hallelujah. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. What we have received. The gospel. The unsearchable riches of Christ. What he has done in redemption. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Colossians 1:26. Okay, this is our round up. Colossians 1:26. Are you there? It says, even the mystery which was hidden from ages upon generations, but now been made manifest to the saints. Hallelujah. To whom God will make known what are the riches of his glory of his mercy among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory. So what are we called the riches? Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. What God has done in redemption. So, riches, from what you've seen,
riches in God's kingdom, from what you've seen, is not physical. Rather, as used by Paul, it is used for what the believer have in Christ, what we've received in Christ, and it is not material. It is not material. It is spiritual. It's the Spirit of God. It's the indwelling. That's what we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Learn something tonight? Sure?